Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Hi, everyone. I'm Katie Couric, and this is Next Question. As the war between Israel and Hamas enters its second month, nothing is certain. But even as we look forward to the end of this conflict, its origins have a lot to tell the world. The latest revelation comes from New York Times reporters Ronan Bergman and Adam Goldman. Reporting from Tel Aviv on the developing story of an Israeli intelligence failure that, if acted upon, may have stopped this war before it even began. Bergman and Goldman have discovered that Israeli intelligence had Hamas's battle plan for October 7th in hand, nearly a year before the attack. In this episode, they outlined the intelligence Israel had and when they had it. They also provide insightful analysis of how a threat like this could be dismissed as imaginary and what this grave misstep means for not only this conflict, but Israel's idea of itself in the larger world. Ronan, I know when you first started asking your sources within Israel's intelligence community about the attack, everyone told you they had, quote, no idea and were completely blindsided. In retrospect, do you believe they were telling the truth?
Some of them, yes. Some of them, I'm not sure. And this is also this almost spontaneous, immediate sort of admittal to a major failure. We're talking about maybe 3,000 people preparing for a moment, and Israel doesn't know anything. So I started to think maybe the admittal is just too fast to hide another much more problematic truth. I do want to say that I don't believe, or I know that there was no deliberate hiding of information that could bring Israeli forces to be ready for this horrific attack. At the end, this will take the lives of many, and of course, those who are in charge, the Israeli defense establishment and the intelligence community. They already took responsibility and said that when this is over, I mean, the war is over, they will conclude, they will come to the conclusions, which in Israel, in Hebrew, it means they will resign. But it's not going to be the first time that things that happened, that signs were not interpreted in the right way. So to say nothing came through our channels is embarrassing. It means that this intelligence officer agency admit they had nothing, the coverage was not right, not accessing the right places in Hamas. But to admit that there were signs that were not regarded as signs for a preemptive attack, that's more embarrassing.
Ronan, not long after those initial conversations began, you started hearing stories about the existence of something called the email threat with the Southern Command, and a woman who got it right. Can you explain what you started to hear circulating about those things?
So this story is taking place mainly in something called Unit 8200. That's the biggest one single unit in the Israeli defense establishment. It's bigger than Mossad, the Israeli Foreign Intelligence Agency, or Shin Bet, the Israeli Domestic Intelligence Agency, that are more famous. But this is just one unit of military intelligence. It's the equivalent to the American NSA or the British GCHQ in charge of the collection of SIGINT, signal intelligence, and cyber intelligence. If there is an expectation that Israeli intelligence would bring an alert, would bring sufficient intelligence to notify Israeli leaders that the preemptive strike from the enemy is coming, it's mainly on the shoulders of this unit 8200, and something was happening there.
So this very elite group of Israeli intelligence officials, military intelligence officials, started to get word that something was going on. Adam, can you explain what the email thread with the Southern Command and the woman who got it right was?
Well, I believe in July of this summer, this veteran Hamas analyst who had spent her career studying Hamas, she knew the voices on the walkie-talkies, she knew the families, intimate details of the people who she would eavesdrop on. She had learned that there was a training exercise 2 months prior. And so she came to the conclusion, based on her expertise and her knowledge of the people involved in the training and some of the things they did in the training, that this was no longer, in fact, a training exercise. It was the last moment of preparation for these particular Nukba or Hamas commandos.
And this was in July, Adam. And in this thread, Ronan, she also said the drill is, quote, in complete overlap with a 40-page document called Jericho Wall. Tell me about that document.
She just said it's in complete overlap with Jericho Walls. This was just the word. This term, Jericho Wall, repeats itself throughout the thread, and it's clear that this is a code name for something else, for something that happened before this thread, for something that is the reference to everything she says in order to prove her point in the debate that follows her email with more senior officers.
So what is Jericho Wall, Ronan?
So this is what I was trying to find out. Bottom line, Jericho Wall is the code name for a copy of around 40 pages of Hamas attack order. It was obtained more than a year before October 7, during 2022. It's a top secret Hamas document that details how to destroy, how to break through the front, the southern Israeli front, the Gaza-Israeli border, in 60 different places, and smuggle through this dispatch, through those holes in the fence, some 2,000 Hamas gunmen. Now, just to give a proportion, Israel believed, this is why this document was regarded as, they called it, a compass to building of the force, meaning where Hamas wants to be in its competence and capabilities, not a reflection of where Hamas was. This is the core of the Israeli failure to anticipate what happened.
We have to take a quick break, and then Ronan and Adam will share more context and details about Jericho Wall's origins and purpose. If you want to get smarter every morning with a breakdown of the news and fascinating takes on health and wellness and pop culture, sign up for our daily newsletter, Wake Up Call, by going to katiekurek.com.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with The 7 every weekday. So follow The 7 right now.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
And we're back with Ronan Bergman and Adam Goldman of The New York Times. So Jericho Wall was a Hamas document outlining how it would wage an attack, an invasion of Israel. When was that discovered?
Well, it's my understanding that dating back years, Israel had versions of that document. And I think the last most updated document they got was in mid-2022. I think one way to think of the Jericho Wall document is to think of the D-Day invasion of Normandy. That's what that was.
It was a blueprint, basically.
It's an invasion blueprint. Like I said, imagine it is the invasion of Normandy. It's to break through the wall. The Jericho Wall is the Jerusalem Wall. It's literally a battle plan to break through the wall or the fortifications Israel had amassed around the Gaza Strip.
Ronan, the report was meticulously detailed in terms of its knowledge of Israeli security and defense information. How do you believe Hamas was able to have access to such critically important information?
I think the first question I had when I read that a few weeks ago. It's such a detailed information that I believe at least part of that, dealing with the exact nature, location, of all the different fortifications Israel put on the wall, the cell phone towers, the fortress with the automatic controlled machine guns, the communication hubs, the cameras, the drone, everything.
How did they know all this?
Some of that clearly does not come from open media, open sources, or the social network, or even a gardener, a Palestinian gardener that went to work in one of the kibbutzim and maybe, well, possibly was recruited by Hamas. This is a question, maybe a task for our further reporting. I assume that this is also one of the questions that Israeli authorities are dealing with now. But it's not just the intelligence, but how the intelligence is translated into a detailed plan of attack with the aim of breaking the fence, letting hundreds of teams of Hamas gunmen storm through, each one with a different plan to a different location, with the first location being the division headquarters in Re'im. This is the base from where they control the whole front. All of that done at the same time when paraglides and drones are sent over to explode those towers and communication hubs, when a massive bombardment of mortars and missiles and rockets is rained all over Israel to create diversion, all of that create intelligence and operational fog to the extent that it took many hours until the IDF, Southern Command and Central Command realized what was happening.
Adam, how many people knew about this 40-page document? For example, was Netanyahu aware of it? Were other top political leaders aware of it?
I'll let Ronan speak to that, but I would also add one of the keys to success for Hamas was ensuring that few people within Hamas's senior ranks knew about that. And it's clear only a handful of people within Hamas, its most senior ranks, Sinwar, the leader, Mohammed Dif, these people, basically the shura of Hamas, knew about that. In fact, today I was at a very sensitive briefing with the Israeli intelligence, and they themselves believe that very few of the people who, the fighters who were actually sent to Israel, knew what was going to happen that day. And they only learned about it within the first few hours of the attack.
So you're saying it was a very small circle of Hamas leadership that had access to this highly sensitive information.
Part of the plan was using deception and surprise. They knew they had to deceive the Israelis into thinking that they were not going to attack. And of course, they needed the element of surprise to do that. And they succeeded on both fronts. And that's because they kept the circle small, right? As they used to say in World War II, loose lips sink ships, right? So they had the discipline to ensure that their plans didn't leak. Though, to Israel's credit, they had the plans.
And Ronan, how many people knew of this blueprint? Bibi Netanyahu, top political leaders? Who was aware that this existed?
So again, this is another question that we are looking at, but clearly, and this is from many documents that we review, the top leadership of the military and the intelligence community were part of the loop who saw the document back in 2022. This was not hidden from anyone. This was not disregard. It was wrongly analyzed. That's the mistake. This, it was shown, and it's, you know, that mistake, though very hard to measure, has also the same seeds, bad seeds of failure that led to the Yom Kippur blunder 50 years and a day before October 7. Vanity, hubris, feeling or certainty that the enemy is just incapable and stupid to perform strategic deception. And it's unbelievable how much similarities. We don't have the time now, but how many similarities there are between those two fiascos?
Not only that, but I know, Adam, you've compared it to the intelligence failure that preceded 9/11. Do you think that really is an accurate parallel? It was hubris that really led to it, or was it a lack of communication? I mean, how do you see these two things comparing?
They have a few things in common. One is that 9/11 wasn't a failure of intelligence collection, right? 9/11 was a failure of imagination. Like the Americans, like the Israelis, had developed information that Al-Qaeda was going to attack the U.S. President Bush was made aware of that in August of 2001. I think the title of the memo that went to him in the president's daily briefing was Blinking Red, right? So it wasn't a failure of collection. They knew what they needed to know, but there was a lack of urgency. And
a lack of communication among agencies. I mean, I covered that, and I remember that was the big thing, that none of these people were talking to each other.
The big blunder was the FBI was only told later that two Al-Qaeda operatives, Mihdhar and Hamzi, had actually entered the United States, putting the FBI on their heels, right, in reacting, rather they had to find them and then figure out what they were doing. You know, what seems to be, and we don't know this for sure, is that I think Israeli authorities think that there were Palestinian workers on the ground in Israel collecting intelligence. So imagine Mihdhar and Hamzi, but, you know, many more Mihdhar and Hamzis in Israel is gathering the work for Hamas right under the noses of the Shin Bet, which is the equivalent of the FBI. You know, I also think that Israeli intelligence, at least it seems at this point, that it was infected by confirmation bias. And confirmation bias can be deadly. We saw it happen on January 6th, right, with the insurrection, right, with the sacking of the Capitol. There are many, many red flags that were apparent to the FBI, which is in charge of thwarting domestic terrorism in this country. And at the end, it's sort of like Hamas. The FBI didn't think that anything would happen, and these people were going to do exactly what they did and they had forecasted, even though it was only rhetoric. So I think there are parallels too with J6 and what happened here, though obviously less fatalities.
Ronan, can you elaborate on some of the wrong analysis that happened with all these warning signs? Because I know you've written about others as well. So you have this senior female intelligence analyst raising concerns. You have this Jericho Walls 40-page document that's a blueprint. What other factors, Ronan, were at play that made Israeli officials not take these threats seriously?
There are three main reasons for the failures. The first one was a total misunderstanding of intent. Israel thought that Yahya Sinwar, the leader of Hamas, is, they said, contained or deterred, and in any case, is looking for sort of a ceasefire. He's not looking to escalate. He's not looking for all-out war. Just 5 days before this happened, in a public radio interview, the national security advisor to Netanyahu said Hamas has learned the lesson from the previous rounds of hostilities with Israel. The Qataris were mediating between Israel and Hamas, and I would say not just Israel and Hamas. Hamas is an exiled leadership based in Doha, in Qatar. But it was the Israelis knew that the Qataris are calling Sinwar to get his approval to reduce the violence or like close to the border in exchange for Israel giving more working permits inside Israel. Working permits meaning money coming from Israel to Gaza. That means a lot of people dependent on money from Israel. Israel thought all of that is a very good sign. Even that analyst, she said, what I'm saying is not imminent. She accepted the point of view that there's no clear indication of intent to launch that attack. The other one is, of course, a total misjudgment of their capabilities, which we discussed. And the third one is not having any reliable intelligence, any signs suggesting that Hamas is going to attack at that day. The first sign was received at 12:30 in the night between the 6th and the 7th. It led the chief of Shin Bet deploy Takila. This is a secret unit that is or counterterrorism unit. But because everybody thought that Hamas can only deploy two teams of up to 70, they sent Takila that can confront up to two teams. But we're talking about an all-out invasion to Israel. It's not a raid, it's war. And so all of them together just created this unbelievable fiasco.
You say the senior intelligence officer, the woman, didn't think it was imminent, but when she was told this plan was imaginary, she responded by saying, quote, "I utterly refute that the scenario is imaginary. It is a plan designed to start a war. It's not just a raid on a village." So while she might not have believed it was imminent, she obviously believed it was extremely serious.
And she expressed with a very clear and sharp words, replying to that officer, which she might interpret it as a little bit chauvinistic or, you know, paternalism. He said, basically, Hamas doesn't have the capability to execute Jericho Wall. She said, no, I am the one who monitor Hamas and military exercise. It's serious. They do have the capability. She and two of my colleagues were the only ones that realized Hamas narrowed the gap between what it could do and Jericho Wall. And now Hamas is capable, though they didn't know if it's happening, but it's capable of launching this massive, horrendous invasion into Israel.
When we come back, more with Ronan and Adam about how these intelligence failures happened.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi.
Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from the Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
And we're back with Ronan Bergman and Adam Goldman of The New York Times. Do either of you think sexism might have played a role in this? Because a lot of people that I've spoken with said, you know, it was because it was a woman, her concerns were dismissed.
Well, there had been stories in the Israeli media about women who were on the border and observation post running balloons who were dismissed. And in fact, you know, I got an email from somebody after our story ran to, you know, basically accused Israel of sexism. You know, there's another parallel with the CIA and Al-Qaeda.
With Zero Dark 30?
Yeah, with Zero Dark 30. And, you know, this intelligence analyst who worked for 8200, at the end of the day, she had a strong hunch based on her expertise, right? She couldn't articulate to her bosses, who would then have to articulate to the leadership of the IDF and the country, you know, Netanyahu, that an attack was imminent, right? But if you look what happened in Zero Dark 30, it was a woman, right? It was women who drove the reporting on Al-Qaeda, and it was a woman, Maya, I know her real name. She drove this reporting on bin Laden and where he might be. And let's remember, that was essentially a hunch, right? There was, you know, there was a guy they didn't see. They thought he was tall. And there was a courier, right, who was close to bin Laden who was working. But they never knew bin Laden was there, right? But I think the difference here with Israel is that she had an advocate. And her advocate was the director of the CIA. And the director of the CIA, Leon Panetta, pushed this. I think it was Leon Panetta who gave a fairly optimistic rating. What did he say? There was a 90% chance that bin Laden was in that compound. And because she had an advocate like Leon Panetta, that raid got done. It doesn't happen without the big boss. And I'm not sure this woman, who the Israeli media described as V, had those type of advocates. And when you look at the email chain, you don't see that, right? They describe what she says as imaginary. And, you know, Ronan has made a great point. It's not that they dismissed this. It's not that they didn't take this seriously. Imagine the time and effort Israel invested in me getting these plans. This is a serious intelligence operation to even get your hands on these plans. And one of the officials acknowledged in the email chain there was some gold in here, right? But at the end of the day, she didn't have a strong enough advocate who went to the leadership of the IDF and said, listen, at a minimum, we need to move some forces to the border, right?
Ronan, have you met with her at all?
No. She's an active duty non-officer commander. She cannot meet with journalists. But I think the tragedy here is that she got it right. Some, I'm sure, that parts of this email exchange will end up in the pages of the inquiry investigation panel that will be established to investigate. The tragedy is that it was left in a capsule of few analysts and few officers up to the rank of the colonel. None of those took that as Adam indicated and said, okay, let's write a memo. Let's take it to someone more senior. And this was just left sort of in the air of this thread with no further investigation to substantiate it or dissolve it.
Well, it sounds to me that Israel was lulled into a false sense of security by these other factors that were transpiring, sort of more soft intelligence, kind of a sense that Hamas was either incompetent or had been less adversarial.
They thought Hamas, Sinwar included, is more interested in being the governor of a state, small state, but a state, the Gaza Strip, taking care of the water, the electricity, the health services, and not jeopardizing everything they already achieved with all-out war with Israel, because those don't work together.
You know, Hamas was obviously much more sophisticated militarily, but also psychologically, in terms of the signals they were sending, Adam, to Israeli intelligence about their intentions.
It was a grand deception plan. And as I said, they needed to pull off the deception part of this. It was essentially a false flag. You know, they gave a false, they were providing false signals to Israel, and Israel bought them. Sinwar, as somebody said, Sinwar out-Israelied the Israelis, right? And studied his adversary and was incredibly patient. And, you know, as I said earlier today, I was at a military base with a unit that exploits information or documents and computers found on the battlefield. And we were able to look at that information, and it was extraordinary. The amount of preparation that they put into this attack was really, really, really extraordinary. And it shows the level of patience that these people had to pull this off.
Ronan, you've said that Israel got completely enchanted by the elaborate security measures in the wall that separated Gaza and Israel. Did that add to this false sense of security?
With no doubt. Together with two other colleagues, Mark Mazzetti and Patrick Kingsley, the New York Times reported what happened after the fence was erected. Now, this is a fence that goes a few meters above ground, 100 meters, that's very deep, underground. It was erected mainly to stop Hamas from building, from digging tunnels underground into Israel. This was for years, was the main fear, the main concern from Israel. And it stopped. But it forced Hamas to be more sophisticated, more robust. And instead of going underground, which is hidden, going above ground, which is overt, everybody can see, and being much more sophisticated. But the Israelis thought that the defense, with all the different electronics and robots and drones and submachine guns controlled from afar, and cameras, this is invincible. And it made the Israeli, say, military sleepy, lose their sharpness, not waking every morning as they did every morning for years at 5 o'clock, because this is the time between 5 and 7. They knew that there's a morning fog, dawn is coming, the sun is in the eyes of the Israelis. This is when Hamas attacks. And guess what? They attacked at 6:35. And the Israelis, many of the soldiers were killed in their sleep. And everybody who knows Hamas said, this is inconceivable, this is unbearable. They did not follow protocol. The fence made them think that they don't need to.
When all is said and done, how do you believe these revelations and your reporting will impact the Israeli intelligence infrastructure and the way it's run and the people in it?
Look, everybody understands that in the second time or 50 years after to the day, Israeli intelligence failed to supply exactly what it was established for. And it's not just about some kind of, you know, exotic alert from the secret world. It led to the brutal violation of the contract of the agreement between Israel, the state, and the Jewish people, which is to supply a security and safety that Holocaust-style days will not repeat itself. This is, it's a major watershed moment in the history of the country and the Jewish people. And the intelligence community is going to rebuild some parts of it, I'm sure, with some, hopefully, mechanism that would make sure that this doesn't happen. It's going to take the resignation of the leaders of the military and the intelligence. Unlike Prime Minister Netanyahu, they said already that they take full responsibility and they, in other words, will resign. This will call for a very thorough investigation and reestablishment of some of the main agencies and expertise to make sure this is the last of those disasters.
Adam, do you think Netanyahu is toast?
You know, many of Israelis have asked me what I think, and my response is, but I don't know. They believe that Netanyahu is toast, but, you know, I just came from a country, the United States, which saw the former president of the United States indicted for seditious conspiracy, right? He's accused of basically trying to overthrow the government. And now he's the leading GOP candidate and could potentially be president of the United States again. So excuse me if I feel a little contrarian these days.
Well, gentlemen, Ronan Bergman and Adam Goldman, you all are really kind to spend this time with me. Thank you so much and keep us posted. I'm sure we're going to be reading developments as this story evolves. And it would be great if one day you could talk to this woman, V, and actually, do you think that just would never happen, Ronan?
No, I'm quite positive it will.
I've tried to speak with Maya. She's not interested.
But you're right. There are some uncanny similarities between their stories, except for, as you said, no one advocating for her at a higher level. Well, gentlemen, thank you both so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kate.
Thanks for listening, everyone. If you have a question for me, a subject you want us to cover, or you want to share your thoughts about how you navigate this crazy world, reach out. You can leave a short message at 609-512-5505, or you can send me a DM on Instagram. I would love to hear from you. Next Question is a production of iHeartMedia and Katie Couric Media. The executive producers are me, Katie Couric, and Courtney Litz. Our supervising producer is Ryan Marks, and our producers are Adriana Fazio and Meredith Barnes. Julian Weller composed our theme music. For more information about today's episode or to sign up for my newsletter, Wake Up Call, go to the description in the podcast app or visit us at katiecouric.com. You can also find me on Instagram and all my social media channels. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.